You often hear doctors say that there's no need to supplement if you eat a balanced diet. Would that that were true. Unfortunately, the food we eat today is not the same as the food we ate 50 to 100 years ago. We have to compensate for the loss of value in our food. Consider, it takes 80 cups of today's supermarket spinach to give you the same iron you'd get from just one cup of spinach grown 50 years ago. Or did you know that according to a Rutgers University study, it now takes 19 ears of corn to equal the nutritional value of just one ear of corn grown in 1940? Or how about the fact that there's less than half the protein in today's wheat as in the wheat our grandparents ate? And so much of our soil is so depleted that our farm crops depend entirely on the chemical fertilizers they're fed to grow. That means that most of the food we eat is devoid of virtually all trace minerals we need for survival. And on and on and on. When you think about it, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what's happened. We've exchanged quality for quantity. You can't keep increasing your yield per acre, at the same time steadily depleting your soil year after year, and not expect to lose something in the process. And what's been lost is the quality of our food. As you've just seen, most of the food sold in our supermarkets is nutritionally compromised. Part of the solution lies in organic foods, which harken back to the more nutritionally beneficial foods of 50 years ago. Consider the following comparisons between organic and conventionally grown food. Organic snap beans have 30 times the manganese, 22 times the iron, and 23 times the copper of the conventionally grown variety. Organic cabbage has 4 times the calcium and 4 times the potassium of the cabbage you buy in the supermarket. Organic lettuce is 5 times higher in calcium, 50 times higher in iron, and 170 times higher in manganese. And organic tomatoes are 12 times higher in magnesium, 68 times higher in manganese, and almost 2,000 times higher in iron. And then there's the difference between organic and super organic. Super organic, when you can find it, has on average twice the nutritional value of standard organic, which, as we've already seen, has several times the food value of conventionally grown food. To give you a sense of the extent of these differences, you need to understand the following comparison. Conventional farms use no compost at all in the growing of their crops. Instead, they rely on chemical fertilizers that have a limited range of nutrients, just what the plant requires to grow, which is why they are so deficient in the nutrients that people need. And of course, we won't even talk about taste. The average organic farm, on the other hand, uses about 3 to 5 tons of organic matter or compost per acre per year. But the average super organic farm will use upwards of 100 tons of organic matter per acre per year. That's 20 times more than a standard organic farm. It makes a difference. A second factor we have to consider in terms of our nutritional needs is something called nutritional stress. We're just exposed to far more environmental and pollution stresses than our bodies were ever designed to handle, more than the human body has ever been required to handle in the history of the world. Even if you were able to consume an all-organic, optimized diet, it takes far more of the protective phytochemicals that food provides than we can possibly get in our diets, even if the food we ate was of the highest quality. Our bodies were never designed to handle the stress of high levels of radiation from dental x-rays and high-altitude airplane flights, organophosphate nerve gas pesticide residues, totally artificial fats, that's hydrogenated oils, trans fatty acids, and homogenized fat, high levels of refined sugar, with the average American now consuming over 137 pounds a year. A totally fiberless white flour diet, including breads, pastas, cakes, Pop-Tarts, pastries, tortillas, etc. Constant exposure to disruptive electromagnetic fields, chlorines and fluorides in our water, continued unrelenting high-stress jobs and living situations, and on and on. The bottom line is that if you live in any industrialized country in the world today, you must supplement to maintain your health, to reduce the risk of cancer, heart disease, degenerative diseases of all kinds, retard the aging process, and protect against toxic injury. But what do you supplement with? Well, before we can actually determine which supplements we need to take, we need to take a quick look at the fundamentals of nutrition. For many people, this is where their nutritional knowledge begins and ends. They count calories and compare ratios of fat calories to total calories. In most hospitals, the sole concern of the certified nutritionists who prepare hospital food is putting together a proper balance of proteins, fats, and carbohydrates. As you'll soon learn, this is tantamount to nutritional insanity. Let's start with proteins. Proteins are essential for the growth and repair of all body tissue. Proteins are made of amino acids, some of which your body can produce by itself and some of which must be included in your diet. A great deal is made about the need for protein, but the fact is our protein requirements are really not very large and are easy to fill. To figure out your protein requirement, just divide your weight in half. That's your daily protein requirement in grams. If you want to rough that out in ounces, it works out to about 30 grams per ounce. In other words, if you weigh 150 pounds, you need 75 grams of protein. That's half of your 150-pound weight. In ounces, at roughly 30 grams to the ounce, that's about 2.5 ounces of protein a day. Now, theoretically, milk is a top-rated protein, but in reality, it's not. As we've already discovered, it messes up the pH of the body, which results in incomplete digestion. Meat and fish are fine. Eggs are too. Surprisingly, though, the best sources are actually vegetarian. Spirulina and chlorella are both not only higher in actual percentage of protein, 60 to 80% versus 20 to 25% for animal sources, but also in terms of bioavailability. Now, to be fair, this one dairy source that is a good source of protein, with very little of the downsides that plague most dairy, and that's high-quality, organic whey. Now let's talk about fats. Fats are the ultimate energy storage system. Your body stores fat for long-term energy use. Think of bears who live off their fat for months at a time while they hibernate. On the other hand, if you're eating every day, your body doesn't really need to store fat for future use. Nevertheless, certain fats are essential for life and health. Essential fatty acids, or EFAs, are among the approximately 50 to 70 nutrients that have been identified as necessary to sustain human life and good health. Unlike saturated fats, EFAs remain liquid at body temperature, and because of their bent shape, they do not dissolve into each other and clog arteries. In point of fact, all fats are actually fatty acids, consisting of one part fat, which is not water-soluble, and one part acid, which is. What makes omega-3, omega-6, and omega-9 so important is that not only are they good for you, they are in fact essential. And what's more, your body can't produce them, which means you must get them in your diet. However, due to the extreme sensitivity of EFAs to light and oxygen, they, particularly the omega-3s and a special variant of the omega-9, have been removed from virtually all processed foods so that the foods have a longer shelf life. The sad fact is that our lack of EFAs has been linked to many of today's diseases and afflictions, including hair loss, lack of energy, skin problems, heart and circulatory problems, and all of the immune disorders, including arthritis. The reason EFAs are so important is that they are the main components of all cellular membranes, inside and out, where they protect against viruses, bacteria, and allergens. They are the key building blocks of all fats and oils, both in our foods and in our bodies. They play a key role in the construction and maintenance of nerve cells and the hormone-like substances called prostaglandins, and they help decrease cholesterol and triglyceride levels in the blood. The bottom line is that essential fatty acids are vital to our health. They quite literally are the primary healing agents in the body. And according to some estimates, as many as 90% of all people are deficient in at least one of them. Now let's talk about carbohydrates. Carbohydrates are the body's short-term energy foods. Simple carbohydrates, such as sugar and white flour, are utilized by the body in a matter of minutes. Complex carbohydrates take time to break down and are therefore utilized over a matter of hours. The best carbohydrates are fresh fruits and vegetables, pure and simple. Buy organic, wash them thoroughly. Another key nutrient group to consider is the minerals. Your body's actually made mostly of minerals and water. As it turns out, your overall health is determined far more by minerals than proteins, fats, and carbohydrates, or even vitamins. Calcium, for example, is not only used to build strong bones and teeth, but is present in every single cell in the body and is instrumental in the transporting of nutrients in and out of those cells. Want some iron? Well, why not grind down a nail and eat the shavings? Want some calcium? Why not do what the Three Stooges do and chuck some oysters, throw the meat away, and eat the shells? Sounds silly? Well, what do you think is in most of the vitamin pills you buy? Well then, how about this as an alternative? Want some iron? How about eating some beets? Want some calcium? How about ground sesame seeds or collard greens or carrot juice? The bottom line is that your body can't handle straight minerals. They carry an electric charge which is opposite that of your intestinal wall so that they stick to the wall and can't pass through. Once stuck to the intestinal wall, they're pushed along and out of the body. In the end, you absorb only about 3 to 5% of the straight minerals you consume. Many supplement makers use chelation to mask the electric charge, thereby tricking your body into absorbing the minerals. But getting chelated minerals through the intestinal wall is only part of the problem. You also have to get the cells to accept them, and the cells of your body don't particularly like artificially chelated minerals. On the other hand, plants pull minerals straight out of the ground and then biologically transform them into the very substance of the plant itself, fully integrating these minerals into the proteins, carbohydrates, and enzymes of the plant cell itself. Not surprisingly, your body likes this form of mineral better. And we mustn't forget the trace minerals. For years, trace minerals were virtually ignored when it came to nutrition. In fact, in the early days of vitamin mineral supplements, it was rare to even find them included. Since then, however, primarily due to discoveries made in large-scale raising of cattle, hogs, and chickens, we've learned that trace minerals are among the most important components of good health and even life itself. A full complement of the 72 to 84 trace elements is essential for optimum health. And what about vitamins? Well, the dictionary defines a vitamin as an organic compound naturally occurring in plant and animal tissue and that is essential in small amounts for the control of metabolic processes. A more illuminating definition is that vitamins are coenzymes. Their primary role is to help your body's enzymes do their job. When vitamins are available in limited amounts, enzyme reactions are inhibited. Ah, and let's not forget phytochemicals. Phytochemicals are the hot new discoveries in nutritional science. They include things such as sulforaphane from broccoli, resveratrol from grapes, and lycopene from tomatoes. Another way of looking at phytochemicals is simply as vitamins and antioxidants in the process of being discovered and acknowledged. This is not necessarily a quick process. It took 50 years for vitamin E to be declared a vitamin after it was discovered. Now, you'd think that supplementation would be pretty easy. Figure out just where people are likely to be deficient, then make a pill that supplements for those suspected deficiencies, sort of a one-a-day multiple vitamin kind of thing. Determining the best supplement to take would then be a simple job of reading the label. Unfortunately, it's not that simple. There are actually several problems. First, natural and synthetic vitamins are not necessarily the same thing. And second, in nature, nutrients do not exist in isolation. They exist molecularly bound in complex relationships with numerous other food constituents. As it turns out, our body cells have specific receptor sites for the carrier proteins attached to vitamins, not the vitamins themselves. Actually, vitamins can be classified as either totally natural, co-natural, or synthetic. In fact, almost no vitamins that you buy are totally natural. Why? Well, quite simply, cost. Direct extraction of vitamins from foods is prohibitively expensive. For example, Acerola cherries, the best natural source of vitamin C, contain only 1% of vitamin C by weight. Most supplements that list Acerola cherries as their vitamin C source contain only a small percentage of vitamin C from the cherries. The rest is synthesized vitamin C. Co-natural vitamins, on the other hand, are vitamins that have been derived from vegetable and animal sources through the use of solvent extraction, distillation, hydrolysis, or crystallization, but by definition haven't undergone any conversions or chemical alteration during the extraction process. That allows them to slip the word natural in there. Synthetic vitamins cannot make that claim. Synthetic vitamins can be derived from either natural or chemical sources, but what makes them synthetic is that they undergo a process of conversion, either as a result of the extraction process or as a result of pure chemical buildup. Synthetics are at best about 50% as effective as natural vitamins, and they may actually suppress the body's ability to absorb the natural portion of the vitamin. Although manufacturers claim that synthetics are identical to natural vitamins, they are not. One way, for example, that this difference manifests is that light passing through a natural vitamin always bends to the right due to its molecular rotation. Synthetic vitamins, on the other hand, behave differently. That same ray of light splits into two parts when passing through a synthetic, one part bending to the right, and that's designated by a D for dexarotary, the other part bending to the left, designated by an L for levorotary. Natural vitamin E, for example, is easily identified by the D-alpha-tocopherol, the synthetic by DL-alpha-tocopherol. Incidentally, the body can't use the L form of vitamin E, and the L form may even inhibit the D form from entering cell membranes. You might be asking yourself why anyone would use synthetic vitamins if they don't work. As it turns out, it's the usual answer. They're cheap. You find them in almost all of the so-called enriched foods, you know, breakfast cereals that contain all 8 major vitamins and so on. It's enough to make you scream. But you ain't heard nothing yet. Many commercial-grade vitamin and mineral concentrates are synthesized by the large pharmaceutical and chemical companies like Kodak and Hoffman LaRoche, etc., from the same starting material that they make their drugs from. That's coal tar, wood pulp, petroleum products, animal byproducts, waste and fecal matter, ground rock, stone, shells, and metal. For example, most vitamin B12, which is cobalamin, is made from activated sewage sludge, and then stabilized with cyanide, thus becoming cyanocobalamin. Read your labels. Most vitamin D is made from irradiated oil. The bulk of all vitamin E is produced at the labs in Kodak. Niacinamide is made from boiling sulfur in the presence of asbestos. Supplemental calcium, for the most part, is either mined from the earth, ground from old bones, or made from grinding up oyster shells. Another surprise is that the term organic, when applied to supplements, does not mean the same thing as it does with food. For supplements, all the word organic means is that the molecule contains at least one carbon atom, as in organic chemistry. In other words, a supplement can be labeled 100% organic and not be natural at all. Many so-called natural vitamins have synthetics added to increase potency or to standardize the amount in a capsule or a batch. Many vitamins also add a synthetic salt form of the vitamin to increase stability. These synthetics are easily identified by the terms such as acetate, bitartrate, chloride, gluconate, hydrochloride, nitrate, and succinate. But hold on, there's an even bigger problem. As we've already discussed, modern medicine refuses to define the human body as a holistic entity, but rather as a grouping of separate parts and pieces. Not surprisingly, that same paradigm has been applied to nutrition. In other words, modern nutrition is based on the concept that key nutrients can be identified and isolated. Unfortunately, the reality is quite different. 15 years ago, vitamin C, ascorbic acid, was all the rage. Then suddenly, after years of people scarfing down ascorbic acid, it was discovered that your body really couldn't absorb ascorbic acid very well unless the bioflavonoids, hesperidin and rutin, were present. So suddenly all vitamin C was sold with the bioflavonoids, hesperidin and rutin. Then it was discovered that you really couldn't absorb vitamin C very well, even if the bioflavonoids, hesperidin and rutin, were present, unless calcium was also present. So again, suddenly all vitamin C was sold with calcium. Two questions that any thoughtful person might want to ask are, what value were people getting all those years they were consuming just ascorbic acid? And two, was there any source for vitamin C available for all those years that packed ascorbic acid with its bioflavonoids and calcium? And the answer is, of course. Oranges package the whole deal together. Grapefruits package the whole deal together. Acerola cherries package the whole deal together. Nature packages the whole deal together. Another example. Several years ago, beta-carotene was discovered. Suddenly, beta-carotene supplements were everywhere. At first, the press was touting the anti-cancer properties of beta-carotene. Then they were touting other studies that proved that it didn't prevent cancer. Incidentally, both negative studies evaluated a synthetic beta-carotene. And for what it's worth, almost all of the beta-carotene on the market today is an isolated synthetic made from acetylene gas. Ooh, yummy! Then forget beta-carotene. Suddenly everyone was touting another carotenoid, lycopene. Lycopene prevented prostate cancer. Then there was lutein, also a carotenoid. Lutein prevents macular degeneration. But once again, if we turn to nature, we see that nature already packaged all of these things together in a complex. The seaweed, Dunaliella salina, for example, contains all of the popular carotenoids plus a whole slew of others such as alpha-carotene and zeaxanthine. Carrots, for that matter, contain approximately 400 different carotenoids in addition to beta-carotene, and many of those carotenoids are far more powerful than beta-carotene. A third example is the mineral chromium. Over the past few years, the synthetic versions of chromium, chromium picolinate and chromium polynicotinate, have been all the rage. They've even been promoted as being better than the original. But as it turns out, that's not entirely true. In its natural state, chromium comes packed with a whole complex of substances called GTF, that's glucose tolerance factor, which, among other things, protects against diabetes. Chromium picolinate and chromium polynicotinate, because they're isolates, do not contain GTF. I could go on and on giving examples such as the B vitamins and vitamin E, where science has continually come up short in identifying the key factors that make it all work. The bottom line, though, is that in nature, vitamins do not exist in isolation. They exist in complexes. And here's a final thought for you. Although it's conceivable that science may someday identify all of the key nutrients contained in nature so that we don't keep finding out what nutrients we forgot to include, it is an impossibility that science will ever identify how all these nutrients interact and support each other. The mathematical possibilities are just too immense. In the end, we'll find that there are literally thousands of nutrients that our bodies require to remain healthy. And the possibilities for the synergistic interaction of all these nutrients is astronomical. As I've already mentioned, there are some 400 carotenoids that have been identified, and each day there are new phytochemicals, not to mention whole new classes of phytochemicals being identified. And new antioxidants are being identified almost daily, it seems. Now, there's one other key issue we want to discuss, and that's how much of each nutrient to take. In the early 1940s, a program was established to determine the minimum daily requirement, or MDR, you would need of each essential nutrient to prevent the onset of disease. Testing was simple. Withhold a certain nutrient, let's say vitamin C, until disease, in this case scurvy, appeared. At that point, the appropriate nutrient was reintroduced back into the diet until the disease disappeared. The amount that it took to make the disease go away was the MDR. The RDA, the recommended daily allowance, was then established as a small percentage above the MDR to allow a safety margin. Recently, RDA was replaced by the term DV, which stood for daily value, and even more recently by the term RDI, recommended dietary intake. The problem with this whole approach is that it deals only with short-term deficiencies. What are the long-term implications, 10, 20, 30 years down the line of nutritional deficiency? The answer is now becoming apparent for all but the blind to see. It's an epidemic of cancer, heart disease, diabetes, osteoporosis, etc. And what makes it all even more ludicrous is that as pathetically low as the RDA, DVA, RDI is, a U.S. Department of Agriculture government survey of 21,000 people found that not one single person consumed 100% of the USA RDI from the foods they ate. Not one single person. Okay, so the question now remains, what's the best overall one-a-day kind of thing supplement? Now, the best way to look at the question of an overall supplement is to break into three categories: good, acceptable, and avoid at all costs. Let's start with a good supplement. A good choice is to use concentrated food-based vitamin complexes. Such supplements will contain concentrated forms of liver, yeast, and wheat germ, for example. The downside is that it's hard to get sufficient intake of all the necessary nutrients by using food-based vitamins. The concentration is just too low. An alternative is a superfood combination that contains things like spirulina, chlorella, flower pollen, nutritional yeast, wheatgrass, barley grass, powdered beets, etc., to provide a full complement of vitamins and minerals. You have to watch out for fillers. Superfoods are expensive, and many manufacturers cheat their formulas down by adding large amounts of things such as rice bran and less of it. And don't get me wrong here. These are not necessarily bad things. They're just not nutrient-dense. Their primary value is that they're relatively inexpensive, and they fill out the jar or bottle. Also, it's important to make sure that your superfood provides good sources for the B vitamins and for vitamin D. Now, for many years, it was thought that edible seaweeds, fermented soya foods, spirulina, and things like that contain high levels of B12. They don't. What they contain are B12 analogs. Those are chemical lookalikes, which your body has difficulty using. You need to find another source of B12 if you're relying on the superfoods. Now, recent studies have found that more than half of all people have too little vitamin D in their bodies. The big surprise was that one-third of those who were deficient were taking vitamin D supplements. So you got to make sure your superfood provides adequate amounts of vitamin D and get some sunlight on your body. Okay, now let's move down one level to the acceptable supplements. It's possible to find vitamin mineral supplements at the health food store that use only co-natural vitamins and no synthetics. The problem with supplements based on co-naturals is that they can never be complete. What co-naturals may be used for is spiking up a supplement based on one of our food-based or superfood options. An example would be a food-based supplement augmented with co-natural vitamins E and C. And as for supplements made from synthetics, they're just not an option and should be avoided at all costs. At their best, they're only 50% as effective as a natural vitamin. At their worst, they actually may carry harmful side effects. So in the end, what am I recommending? I think the absolute best choice is to use food form supplements. Instead of being chemically manufactured, food form supplements are cultivated using a live biodynamic growing process. Literally, by growing nutritional yeast in a super dense nutrient broth, you end up with a living vitamin mineral complex that is comprised of a highly complex interlocking system of vitamins, enzymes, minerals, active bioflavonoid groups, microproteins, complex carbohydrates, and countless other naturally occurring food constituents. This gives you the best of all possible worlds. One thing to keep in mind when choosing a food form supplement is to choose one that is energy balanced. I don't have time to go into that now, but any company selling an energy balanced formula will be able to provide you with comparative Kirlian photographs that will graphically show you the difference. Now, another area you have to supplement is the essential fatty acids. Since EFAs have been removed from virtually all of the foods we normally eat, supplementation is essential. If you're taking your daily dose of ground flaxseed, as recommended in my talk on cleansing the digestive tract, you'll be getting all of the alpha-linolenic acid you need. Otherwise, you'll want to supplement with 1 to 2 tablespoons daily of organic, cold-pressed, high-lignin flaxseed oil. Another good choice is borage oil, which is a good choice for gamma-linolenic acid. As for fish oil, it provides DHA and EPA fatty acids. And finally, a variation of a long-chain fatty acid acetyl ester called omega-9 plus has been discovered. Although not yet officially designated an essential fatty acid, supplementation with this fatty acid has shown a remarkable ability to relieve pain, reverse the effects of arthritis, and relieve the symptoms of a whole host of diseases. Now another area you want to consider is that you need to make sure you've got your trace minerals covered. There are now many good sources of trace minerals available. You'll see them described as colloidal minerals, or ionic minerals, or sea minerals. Take your pick and use one. Trace mineral deficiency is epidemic in America because of the poor quality of our diets and the poor quality of the soil. Supplementation is essential. Note, you'll probably find it almost impossible to get the trace minerals you need in an overall supplement. Trace minerals are hard to absorb unless they're in a liquid form that the body can use. And finally, there are the phytonutrients. At the moment, the best source is still real food. Foods you'll want to include in your diet include things such as soy products of all kinds for the genistein and the isoflavones, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, and kale for the sulforaphane, garlic and onions for the alkyl sulfides, red grapes, including the seeds, for the proanthocyanidins and the resveratrol, green tea for the polyphenol, and berries of all kinds for their antioxidant value. Well, that concludes Part 6 of the Take Back Your Health series. In Part 7, we'll cover a topic that really gets my juices flowing, herbs and herb quality. You're currently being sold a paradigm that says that, yes, herbs can be helpful if you have a cold or a headache or want a little more mental clarity, but if you're really sick, you need to take real drugs. Bullpucky. You need to know how the proper use of the right herbal formulations can very well save your life.